The April 6th, 1989 meeting of the Judiciary Subcommittee Crime Corrections will come to order. Our hearing today, actually it's a work session, includes House Bill 2571, 2867, 2083, 2808, 2891, 2653, and a public hearing and possible work session on 3390. Why don't we start today with 2803. This is a bill relating to traffic violations, or somewhat euphemistically entitled coercive procedures. And with that, Ms. Zucker.
Mr. Chair, committee members, actually this is more appropriately entitled deletion of coercive procedures. This bill has already gone to the full committee, and the full committee passed it out with an 11-0 vote. But on the way to the floor, a question arose regarding a second hearing was required after the person fails to appear for their first hearing in order to suspend that person's license. The new -3 legislative council amendments clarify that when a person fails to appear for their hearing for violation of a traffic offense, their license can be suspended without a further hearing. The other one issue is that although the subcommittee, the general intent was to delete coercive procedures and return to the former law, former law contained a provision in which the court had to pay a $5 notification to DMV when the court sent DMV the notification to suspend the person's license. And in the prior amendments, this fee was, the Civil Judiciary Committee deleted this notification fee. So there was a question, if we passed the bill the way it was, would we go against the intent of the Civil Committee? So these amendments clarify that we do just what the Civil Committee wanted to do and delete the notification requirement.
Relatively technical, I assume all expressed in HB 2083-3, technical amendments. Any objection to reconsideration by which the vote by which 2083 went to the full committee? Now the chair would move the 2083-3 amendments to 2083. Any objection to the 2083-3 amendments? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair moves 2083 back to the full committee. Do pass as amended. Again, this is just technical. Subcommittee. Okay. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye. Thank you very much. I don't know who had that originally. Mm-hmm. 2571. Why don't we move on to 2571? Now, this is a work session on 2571. We would be working with the 2571-4 amendments. Mrs. Zucker, do you want to kind of give us the lay of the land on this and tell us where we are on this?
Mr. Chair, committee members, these amendments differ from the previous amendment. First of all, in Section 1, Sub 4, we deleted some language that caused some confusion as to whether records that would be exempt under other statutes would be disclosable, or you could receive that information here. We did not want records that were otherwise confidential, such as adoption records, for example, to be disclosable. So this, I think the elimination of the confusing language makes it more clear here. An additional difference is in Section 2, subparagraph 3, there was a sentence which provided that the custodian of the public record could furnish copies of records to certain specified groups, including journalists and authors and scholars, and instead we've deleted that language with those specific references, and now it just says that the custodian of any public record shall furnish copies without charge or to substantially reduce fee if the custodian determines that the waiver or reduction of fees is in the public interest, because making the record available primarily benefits the general public.
I have here a letter which will be entered into the record from Mr. Jim Mountain, Deputy Attorney General, it's in the record. This bill was to a certain extent modified on a federal standard and clarifies some problems we have with the public records law. I think it's a relatively good bill. We I think, approved this bill in concept last time it was up, but didn't have the specific amendments in front of us at that time. Any further discussion? The chair would move 2571-4.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, minor technical amendment to section 1, sub 4, where it says such as on line 20. I would substitute including but not limited to, for one thing. And the other thing is I'd like to just put on the record that the intention is that court records be court records as defined in 7 ORS chapter 7.010.
The chair will move the amendments 2571-4, including that technical corrections expressed by counsel. Any objection to 2571-4 amendments? Representative Clory.
Well, see, I'm not sure if I do or not. I said I'd like to understand that subsection 3 that counsel pointed out just a few minutes ago again. I guess I'm not sure that exactly what that's saying now. It says shall furnish without charge or substantial.
This one. Go ahead, Mr. Clore.
Can you explain what you think the intent is there now?
Are you asking the chair or counsel?
Either, I don't care. Somebody.
Well, the intent here is that there are certain situations in which it would be very appropriate and in the public interest to waive the fee. Ongoing controversies in which some either scholar or journalist needs these records, and it's determined by the custodian that indeed it'd be in the public interest, and that would give them the yes, we're not going to charge you $2.50 a page, whatever they're charging now. We are going to allow you access to these records. We certainly hope they'll be reasonable with it, both from a standpoint of when they do waive this and from the standpoint of expenditure of public monies. I don't think it ever intended that somebody can come in and ask for 5,000 pages of records, but I think somebody coming in and asking for a 20-page police report and a very serious, I assume it's the report's available per se, but in a serious situation would be very appropriate.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clory, this would not apply just to journalists or authors or scholars or anything. It's a pretty broad, it's any time the determination is made that it would primarily benefit the public. And additionally, you might wish to know that the Federal Freedom of Information Act has a similar provision which does specifically recognize journalists, the authors and scholars, and their obtaining information being in the public interest.
And it's upon that federal act which this is based.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would like to observe that given the fact that we have not now included what we had in there before, which specifically listed journalists, scholars, and authors, that the intent here then is to put it even more up to the description of what we're calling the custodian. So we aren't even giving them hints about who they might choose, which makes it a little bit tougher.
Well, the hint would be in the record if this was ever to be litigated.
Okay. Which record? This?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then it seems to me that it's worth saying that we are not, we have chosen not to select out journalists, scholars, and authors or anyone else, and we're leaving it up to their discretion. I guess I also am somewhat inclined to change shall to may, just simply because of the fact that I can just imagine some aggressive.
Where are we?
Same paragraph.
Line 16.
Custodian of a public record shall. Someone could come in and say, it says right there, shall, so I want mine for a low. And I just think that if we're going to give discretion to those various agencies, then we ought to say may and make it sure that it really is discretion and that somebody doesn't try to come in and bully their way around and say, well, I'm entitled to it and it says shall.
Well, I can see your point, Representative Clore, except that's probably the weakest shall you'll ever find in the law because of the next phrase. It says, shall furnish copies without charge, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if, you know, the custodian determines that the waiver or reduction of fees. That's the palest shall you'll ever run into. Go ahead, Representative.
That may be, but again, I can just picture, for lack of a better example, an aggressive TV journalist coming and say, well, it's obviously for the public good because I'm on TV, and therefore...
I sell press.
Huh? Yeah. So, in fact, I, having already spoken, I would like the opportunity to move that we change that from may to shall, or shall to may.
Representative Caloria moves on line 16 that the word shall be replaced with the word may, and I assume editorial discretion there to change any other shells to May, which would make it the bill is consistent. Now,
okay,
having placed the motion, Representative Mannix, your discussion of the motion?
I'm not aware of, well, yes, on this motion. First of all, I support Representative Kalori's motion. Second of all, I'm not aware of where else there is a shall that needs to be changed.
Oh, I just said that just to cover myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the key word, and I think Representative Kalori's points are well taken, that granted, I think if you read that whole subsection 3 together, you could say this is discretionary. I would like to reemphasize that it's discretionary and not have some poor clerk in the front office browbeaten by somebody at some point who keeps saying, it says, you shall. And they can keep saying, but it says if, but it says if. And they I can just see the argument happening. I'd rather make it clear that it's a may rather than a shall.
Okay. Courtney.
I don't understand what we've done to do this. You know, what, you haven't, they may furnish them.
That's the bill.
If, I mean,
well,
let's just dump the whole thing then. You haven't accomplished anything.
No, no.
Because you've got, just a minute, you've got a may in there, which right off the bat means it's discretionary. Before you go, as soon as you say the word may, stop. You know, you can. They're in a situation. They may, if, and they've got the if in there. They're not bound. Even if they say it isn't a public interest, they still may be able to say no. And I think that you left it so much to the discretion of those who were taking care of the records that, in effect, that we haven't done anything. We really haven't done anything. It's a double qualifier. It's not only a qualifier of the word shall, now it's a qualifier of the word of may, and the may is a qualifier of discretion. So I don't know what we're even doing then.
Representative Poirier, I'll allow you to close, but is there any further comment before we move, vote on this amendment?
I don't know what I'm closing. I'm just trying to explain. I think the purpose of the bill is to make darn sure that those are available. This phrase, as I see it, talks about without charge or substantially reduced. That's the part that the may applies to. I'm not disagreeing for a second that they ought to have the ability, which is really what the issue was when they came in here in the first place. They wanted to have access to those records. There's no question about them having access. The question is whether they ought to get them for nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what the may has to do with. In fact, I would also point out that in discussion in the committee before, there was even talk about having a two-tiered kind of an approach where commercial ventures, which I would submit includes radio and TV and so forth, should be charged more.
Let me get to Representative Bauman, then Representative Mannix.
Can I have some reassurance on following up on Representative Courtney's question? All that we're dealing with on the question of the word shall or may is with relation to the cost of the document, not with relation to whether the document shall be made available, but whether it should be made available at a without charge or at a substantially reduced fee.
One proviso in there, one part of the bill clarifies as to courts. Is that correct, Larson?
Yes, I think were you referring, Representative Bauman, to subsection 3 of section 2? That is correct.
Yeah, but that's not the guts of the bill, because the courts have already acquiesced to it. We are putting into statute what the courts are already doing. Notwithstanding that, your questions, you know.
Can I ask Mr.
Chairman? Well, to the guts of the bill, as amended or as proposed to be amended, that is why I was concerned when you said, well, we'll change the other shalls to May 2. No. Yeah. There's another shall here that talks about delivering these records.
Okay,
and I didn't want to fool around
okay
with the rest of this statute that requires that public records be made available. What
that was not intended.
But I see three things that this bill does, and I don't think that changing that word gets it. First of all, it makes it clear that certain agencies of government are covered by the public records law where it is not clear. They may have acquiesced in most instances, but part of the testimony we heard was that some news agencies found that some courts were not fully cooperative regarding their records, and it will now be specifically clear that they must provide their records. And that's an important thing to do. The state court administrator may have acquiesced, and I'm glad he did, but what this takes care of is that clerk in that local circuit court who is saying, I'm reading the statute book here, and I don't see that I have to do this. Now they will see that they have to do it. I think that's important. The second point is on the reduction of fees. I don't think we should be telling every agency of government that they must reduce fees or even suggesting that they must. I'd like to give them the leeway to do so. I'd also like to make it clear that they're not engaging in bad government by doing so. So it's important to tell them it's okay for you to waive fees or reduce fees in the exercise of your discretion. Saying may makes it clear that it's discretionary, but it still gives them some guidance as to the fact that it's okay. Thank you.
Representative Courtney, again.
On what basis are they going to waive the fees?
Question to Representative Mannix, I assume.
Well, it's just a question of, inherently, if you say the custodian of any public may furnish copies without charge of standard reduced rate, his fee, then, you know, when does that person, whoever that person is, know when they're going to do it, when they're not going
to
do it?
We say may to give them discretion, and then we tell them what kind of discretion. If they determine the waiver or reduction of fees is in the public interest, because making a record available primarily benefits the general public.
Now, but, you know, that doesn't tell them. Let's say they say it is in public interest. It is in the public interest. We go right along. It's still, then there's still, you know, what's the guideline? They're not required to do it. Then what do they do? Do they automatically say that because it's in the public interest, then it goes? Or, I mean, what other factors? It puts people in a very nebulous situation on the everyday basis who have to make these decisions. And that was my whole point of why let's just get on with this.
Representative Brian, where are you in this?
I prefer May just because of the cost. And I've seen people walk in and make lots and lots.
You may close in your amendment, Representative Clory.
Oh, okay. Well, I have another issue here. If you want to stick with that, then that's fine. I'm
trying to put some form to these deliberations.
Okay, that's fine.
Would you like to close on your amendment?
No.
Clerk, call roll on Representative Clory's amendment. Sorry, Representative Minnis.
No. Wait. Yes.
This is
May.
You're voting for May.
Yes.
Brian?
Aye.
Calori?
Aye.
Courtney?
No.
Aye.
Yes.
No. Amendment passes. Now, Representative Clark.
Chairman, the next subsection, to some extent, certainly gets to the issue we've been talking about, and that is an unreasonable denial of fee waiver and reduction, and it brings in the Attorney General. And I wonder, I don't remember whether or not we heard from anyone from the Attorney General's office, and I understand that there's someone here, and I wonder if maybe it might be appropriate to ask them to come up and see how they're going to administer this thing.
The appropriate time would have been during the public hearing.
Well, we always rush things fairly quickly in this committee, and I guess we just didn't have a chance to get to that one.
I will, as a favor, I will let Mr. Mountain come up and give a very brief. Now, Mr. Mountain is one of the most scholarly gentlemen I know, has a tendency to essay on us. So Mr. Mountain, briefly.
No essays. The plain fact is that when a public records request is denied, we have 7 days in which to decide whether it should have been allowed. This would also add to our responsibility and make us determine whether or not a fee was unreasonable, or waiver was unreasonably denied, or a reduction was unreasonably denied. And quite frankly, I don't know and would like some guidance from this committee or from the legislature about what standards you want us to apply.
What standards?
Do you want us to let him finish?
He's almost finished.
I am almost done. Do you want us to consider, for example, the extent of the time and expense and interference with the business of the agency, the extent of the sheer volume of the records requested, the necessity to segregate exempt from non-exempt materials, and the extent to which even an examination itself is insufficient for the public interest or insufficient for the particular needs of the requester. And if we are getting into the particular status or needs of the requester, we are making a new step in the public records law, because under the current law, we never really get into the motivation of the requester. Those are our problems. Those are our needs.
Thank you, Mr. Mountain. Yes,
maybe Mr. Mountain can comment on this. Why don't we just say a person who believes that there has been an arbitrary and capricious denial of a fee waiver or fee reduction may file suit in circuit court, period.
Sure.
How?
I mean it. I mean, the fee reduction to me is not nearly as important as the public records availability.
Well,
and they have to be available, but if someone's got a big volume of records and there's a big fight, let them file a petition in certain court.
Representative Mannix, if we can confine this bill to the fee, I know we, you know, this, you know, your Pandora's box is just creaking open there. You see,
slam it shut.
Yeah, so let's slam it shut. Okay. Now, thank you very much, Mr. Mountain. Okay. What's your pleasure on standards? I think that, with all due respect to Mr. Mountain and our very, very capable Attorney General, I think they does protest too much, and I think they're pretty capable of handling this themselves. Representative Mannix?
What if we authorize them to develop standards?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bauman.
My concern is, you know, what, so that is sort of trite, but there is a saying that what interests the public is not always in the public interest, and I think that's what Mr. Mountain is asking for, and I think this is the line here that is sort of the philosophical line that involves the press. And I don't know if we're leaving this open for 2 years and we'll get some determinations out there in the ground, or if we want to take a shot at it, but I suspect that's the issue.
Well, fall in love
are
with this one.
Are we in work session?
Well, yeah, we're in work session.
We're
have we moved the amendments?
All we've done so far is amend the amendments.
The dash four amendments as amended.
Straight move, dash four as amended.
Okay.
Representative Bauman moves the amendments, the amended amendments, 2571-4 as amended, to be placed into the full bill. Representative Minnis.
A real simple little question, since my name appears on this thing. What happened to the original bill?
The original...
Gotten stuff, buddy.
Gotten stuff. Representative Saylor acquiesced to this.
So what happened?
So
you got gotten stuff, buddy.
You know, some people achieve greatness, others have it thrust upon them, Representative.
Unfortunately, it happens to minority party members on a regular basis.
Acquiescence of the sponsor.
Yes, the minority party member, we might add, Representative Saylor.
Representative
Bauman, are you on this bill, too?
No, but I wanted to make sure the record was clear that this whole thing was started by Representative Courtney sitting up at the witness stand with three prominent members
of
the press.
Well, let's be really clear. Let's not blame Representative Courtney.
I'm not blaming. I was setting out the facts. Okay.
This bill was started by an extremely responsive representative heralding the call of one of his constituents.
Well, I saw him with three of those press mongols out there, and I just...
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Mannix.
This guy's crazy. As we proceed, I would like it understood that the kinds of considerations mentioned by Deputy Attorney General Jim Mountain are appropriate considerations for the Attorney General to apply should some controversy arise as to fee waiver or reduction.
I have no objection to that. I think that might be an appropriate articulation of the legislative record in regard to those standards. Any objection to that? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, now, let's vote on the amendment as expressed. Call the roll, please.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Lord?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Bennett?
Aye.
Baum?
Yes.
Baum?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye. Chair, move 2574. Yeah, Representative Clark.
I am in a difficult position.
How's that?
Well, I have reason to believe there is another person who has something that they feel is appropriate, and I don't even know how to smoothly get them up before us. Other than
tell me who they are, I'll ask him.
Would you do that? I have reason to believe the mental health division.
Mental health division?
Health. I said that wrong. Health division. We are candidates for mental health. I don't even know what the subject is. I just know that there is something appropriate.
Well, we would never want to deny them. Is the mental health division here?
No, health division.
Health division? Okay. For the record, I you know, you're catching us completely flat-footed, and I guess I should. It's better be good.
Testimony. Presentation.
Yeah, this will be very, very short, won't it, sir?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it will be very, very short. Our Child Assistance Administrator of the Oregon Health Division, passing out testimony, and some of what has already been stated and changed is within the testimony. We would like to go on record, however, Mr. Chairman, members, opposing any attempt to cause personal medical records that are classified to be public records or open for public inspection. The federal statutes tie in a substantial number of dollars, not only for our division, but for all state agencies that would be revoked with these records to go. And the reduction of that standard under the Dash 4 amendment does seem to change that. Mr. Chairman, the division's only major concern on this issue is questions arising to recover the costs of records that would be provided to either private researchers or to the media. The question would arise, Mr.
Chair, if I may stop you, I don't want to give you a rough time, but we are totally confused as to, this bill does not change the status quo as to public records. So, this bill has to do with two things, clarifying whether or not court records are subject to public records, and secondly, waiver of fees. So I just fail to see...
I'm seconds from the waiver of fees, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
But you're not saying we're opening up any of your records?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Courtney, the division is very anxious to go on record as part of the legislative process to make sure that there's no misunderstanding that the legislature is attempting to release classified confidential medical records through any type of legislation.
Can it be understood that that is not the intent of
this bill?
Kind of
turn the paranoid meter down a little bit. But now, as to, for the health division, it might be appropriate. But now, as to the fees.
Mr. Chairman, I could sum that up in one question. Depending upon whether someone were to come in and ask for copies of death records for the last 10 years to support an inquiry on the number of people that died in automobile accidents, we're talking...
Death record fees already have a statutory fee with them, I believe, having requested a few of those. It's a good
Chairman,
healthy fee, too, I might add.
You get a waiver, huh?
My grandmother died.
The more substantial, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Go ahead, President.
I think the more substantial point is that any agency that has a tight budget can simply say, we have a tight budget here and we can't afford to give out anything free. The point that was made during the original testimony is that some agencies find it very convenient to churn out tons of press releases and a lot of paper, but then when someone comes in and asks for a few sheets of paper, they say, oh, we can't afford this, we have to charge you. And if the Mental Health Division finds itself strapped in providing records, then it could just say, look, we're not churning out lots of paper because we can't afford it, and we're also not giving away lots of paper at people's requests because we can't afford it, and here's our fee schedule. And we don't waive or reduce fees because we've got a tight budget, and by the way, I know you do. And just tell people that and go on from there.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mannix, we would be delighted with that if that is the intent of this. We're talking of instances where people would request a study of death records within the division for 10 years, amounting to about $24,000 per year to be examined for 10 years, which would require staff time, and estimated this morning that would require anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks of staff person's time, because some of them are computerized and some are not, in order to establish the standards. If we are able to charge for that service, we have no problem with that, Mr. Chairman.
I would want to clear on the record that the intent of this bill is not to require any agency to provide staff time other than standing at a counter, where if they have a counter and someone standing there and saying,
absolutely,
here's the machine, we'll make a copy. Mm-hmm. And if it's anything more than that, it's not intended to be in this bill.
Are we all right on that? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we're very satisfied. Thank you very much.
Anything else, Representative Calori?
No, I think we're doing fine.
Calori and his tight budget amendments.
Yes. That was his...
As to further discussion, Chair, move 2571 to the full committee. Do pass the amendment. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Ford?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Mannix?
Aye.
Baum?
Yes.
Baumann?
Yes.
Bryan?
Aye. Aye. Thank you very much. Okay. Boot camp. Don't you want to stay for boot camp? Boot camp. Ms. Zucker.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we voted this bill out of subcommittee. This is the boot camp bill by...
Came out Tuesday night.
Came out Tuesday night, and we neglected to address two issues of which Representative Bauman and Representative Bryan were concerned. One involves a drug evaluation upon entrance of this program, and another involves a literacy program. And those two concepts are rolled together into these dash five amendments that you should have before you.
That's correctly stated, Representative Bryan. Okay.
Commission, I would move the dash one and two amendments.
Actually, first of all, I need to move reconsider the vote, which 28, Representative Bryan moves we reconsider the vote by which 2808 came out of the subcommittee Tuesday night. Any objection? Hearing none, sir. Representative Bryan.
Chairman, move the dash one and two amendments to 2808.
Representative Bryan moves
2808.
Representative Bryan moves 2808-5 amendments to take into consideration the elements just discussed by Mr. Zucker. Any objection? Now, if we can, Chair, Representative Bryan again moves 2808 to the full committee. Do pass as amended. This bill has come out once. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Courtney?
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Baumann? Bryan?
Aye.
Lord?
No.
Jeremy?
Aye.